Jim McGovern is of Massachusetts' beautiful 2nd District. He's been in office since 1997. And Jim, I guess since you got an awful lot of cows in your district, tell me about the Farm Bill.
Well, the Farm Bill, as it has been drafted, is a lousy bill for a whole bunch of reasons. One is it doesn't do a lot to help our farmers. Two, it goes after SNAP, which is it used to be known as food stamps, which provides people a food benefit. Millions of people would lose their benefits if this bill were to become law. And not only that, their children would automatically be unenrolled from free breakfast and lunch programs in school. So, you know, I've always said that one of my criteria for voting for a farm bill is to make sure we don't make hunger worse. This bill makes hunger worse. It's cruel. It is the product of a very partisan process, which is unheard of in the Agriculture Committee, which is usually bipartisan. And, you know, they're going to try to bring it to the floor this week and, you know, and shove it through. I don't know if they have the votes, but it's a lousy way to write a bill, and it's a lousy bill.
So let me ask you a simple question. What is it with these people? Are they sadistic or what?
Yeah, I don't, you know, they have this perception that everybody who's on, you know, SNAP is lazy. I mean, they have this stereotype that it does not reflect reality. I mean, the reality is the majority of people on the program are not expected to work because they're children or they're senior citizens or they're people who are disabled. Of those who can work, the majority work. But they earn so little that they still qualify for the benefit, by the way, which is about $1.40 per person per meal. So this is not an overly, you know, generous benefit. And most people on the program end up in at food banks or food pantries halfway through the month. So, you know, we all want to make sure that people, able-bodied people, have access to a job. But it would be nice if we added to that access to a job that pays a livable wage. And if you want to get more people off of SNAP, then we have to make sure that work pays more. And unfortunately, for millions of people in this country, work doesn't pay enough to get out of poverty. And that's why we need this program.
It was always my impression, Jim McGovern, that I don't know how to put this gently, but that many farmers are Republicans.
Yeah. I haven't done a survey, but I certainly the reputation of our farmers is they're on the more conservative end of the spectrum. But, you know, the farmers that I do farm tours every year, and I've lost count how many farms I've visited in my district alone. I mean, we have over 2,000 farms in the 2nd District.
Yeah.
But they all get it. I mean, the farmers get it. They understand that, you know, that SNAP is an important program. And by the way, you know, SNAP dollars can only do one thing, and that is buy food. And our farmers produce food. We're working with our farmers on these new innovative programs, you know, to help people be able to access fresh fruits and vegetables at farmers markets and have their SNAP dollars stretch more so they have access to nutritious food, but it also helps our farmers. So our farmers, I think, get it by and large, and they understand the importance of SNAP. They also understand the importance of some of these other programs to help support some of our farms, especially our farms in transition, like the farms in New England. But this bill doesn't help our farmers, and it really it turns a cold shoulder on the plight of millions of Americans who are, you know, struggling right now, who need SNAP to put food on the table for them and their families.
Let's go to another place, Jim McGovern. Let's go to the Affordable Care Act. We're not hearing much about it these days, but still very much in play, isn't it?
It is, and I think that their Republicans' attempt to try to repeal it are not necessarily dead, even though they've failed in their attempts thus far. They're trying to kill it, you know, by, you know, amending it or changing regulations to have it die the death of 1,000 cuts. But some of the things they're doing are going to end up resulting in people paying higher out-of-pocket expenses and higher premiums, and it's all as a result of their attempts to try to chip away at it. We need to get this right. And one of the things the president could have done is actually kept one of his campaign promises. During the campaign, he said that he was in favor of trying to take some positive action to lower the cost of prescription drugs. One idea would be to allow Medicare to negotiate on bulk on behalf of all Medicare recipients with drug companies to get drug prices lower. The VA has that power, but CMS doesn't, which oversees Medicare and Medicaid. That would have been a positive step forward. And instead, a few days ago, he announces his plan, which is basically, you know, big farmers, you know, dream come true. Nothing much of anything. But the cost of prescription drugs is a major driver in healthcare costs. We could do something about that, and the president chose not to do it. You know, hopefully, if we get a chance to take back control of the House, we can start bringing some of these issues to the floor and hopefully get enough to pass them. But I mean, I think that would be one way to start. The other thing too, and you know, we were talking about the Farm Bill and SNAP. Nutrition is a big part of our health and well-being. Food is medicine. My grandmother used to say to me all the time, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. It used to annoy me. I wish she was still alive so I could tell her she was right. We need to understand the connections between food and our health and well-being and controlling health care costs. The Greater Boston Food Bank and Children's Health Watch in Massachusetts did a study about avoidable health care costs attributed to food insecurity and lack of access to good nutrition. They estimated about $2.4 billion, that's B, billion, a year in avoidable health care costs in Massachusetts alone. So, I mean, you know, I formed this group called the Food is Medicine Working Group, and we're trying to bring together ideas to better connect our food and our diets, you know, with our health and well-being, and in turn, controlling healthcare costs.
Can you give us an example of one such food and diet? You know, I'm a bit of a health nut myself, Jim. So I'm interested in what you see as an example of better food, which would lead to better health.
Well, I'll give you an example. I mean, eating more fresh fruits and vegetables, for example. And again, you know, we have been pushing for some time these pilot projects, and there's one up and running in Massachusetts. Which is a healthy incentives program, which allows low-income people on SNAP to be able to get more, money, get more of a bang for their SNAP buck when they go to a farmer's market and purchase fresh fruits and vegetables from our farmers. Look, I mean, you know, we also need to, you know, move away from all these processed foods, and I mean, we need to get back to learning how to cook again. I mean, there's a lot of things that we need to do, but you know, one of the things that we don't do very well is we don't stress nutrition. A lot of medical schools don't really teach nutrition. It doesn't make any sense to me, given the fact that we know that, you know, the rise in diabetes is linked to the food we eat. You know, heart disease, high blood pressure, all these things can be managed or controlled or avoided, you know, with better diets. We need to integrate nutrition more with our, you know, basic education. I mean, if we don't want to teach a separate course, I mean, let's learn nutrition lessons when we learn math and science. I mean, it's, you know, building good habits early on in our lives that will last for a lifetime. And certainly not doing what the Trump administration is trying to do right now, which is to reverse some of the nutritional standards in the meals we give our kids in school. You know, I mean, we ought to know that the meals that your kids eat in school ought to be nutritious, ought to be good for you. And we've made some progress toward better nutrition in school. Let's not reverse that. I mean, so there is a link between food and medicine, and we need to understand that. And it's not just a nice little catchphrase, but we need to come up with some concrete ways to make that link. I've even talked about, you know, trying to figure out ways to get Medicare and Medicaid to cover food prescriptions, or even how we treat people who are sick when they leave hospitals. You know, oftentimes, if you're in the hospital for, you know, a serious illness, you get released, you go home. If you're alone, you don't have the energy to make a meal. We have these food, these meals that can be delivered to you to help you get the nutrition you need to get well, because we're learning that one of the major reasons why people get readmitted to hospitals after they leave is lack of nutrition. And when you get readmitted prematurely, the hospital gets fined and your insurance company has to pay more. So you can control costs and you can improve the quality of life if we had medically tailored meals follow some of these patients when they leave the hospital so they can get the nutrition and get back on their feet.
Makes great sense to me, Jim McGovern. That's why you're one of my favorites. Jim McGovern of Massachusetts 2nd District. When we come back, I want to report some interesting news about you and the Rules Committee.